Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It may seem to be, relatively easy to stop outward sin, the kind of manifest sin that others may notice. A man with murderous rage can keep himself from premeditated bloodshed. He can not take his guns to town. He can impose a restraining order on himself, keep a healthy distance from the one he wishes to harm. He can make a practice of walking away, counting to 10. Outwardly, he can avoid being a murderer. But how can he quell the anger inside? How can he rein in his thoughts? After all, in catechizing on the fifth commandment, Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not murder,' but I say to you, everyone who is angry with his brother is a murderer." Murder happens just inside as well. And thoughts render one just as guilty before God as actions. The man prone to commit adultery can keep himself outwardly chaste. He can avoid intimate conversations with women to whom he's not married. He can put a hedge around his internet use with filters and accountability software. But how can he control his thoughts? How can he, like Job, make a covenant with his eyes not to look lustfully at a woman? Thoughts may not hurt your neighbor, but they do hurt you. And catechizing on the sixth commandment, Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery,' but I say to you, everyone who looks at a woman with lust in his heart has already committed adultery with her in his heart." These thoughts, sinful thoughts that rage inside of you, alienate you from a holy and righteous God. Jesus says anger is akin to murder in God's eyes, and lust the equivalent of adultery, even though your neighbor does not perceive them in the same way. Thoughts matter. You may not ever steal something, but greed is just as bad, just as poisonous. You may never speak a word of gossip about another person, but your self-righteous thoughts or your schadenfreude at the misfortune of others tucked secretly inside your heart is just as damning. Destroying your neighbor's reputation in your mind is just as bad as destroying it with your tongue, just as bad for you as destroying it with your tongue, even though she would prefer you keep that information to yourself. Rare are the sins of action or inaction, outward sins that happen without a thought. Most misdeeds begin in the machinations of your brain, your thoughts. It's easier to avoid sinful action if only you can curtail your sinful thinking. So what can you do? Controlling your thoughts, St. Paul admonishes, taking every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ, seems as easy as capturing the wind or commanding the weather. Who can intervene in the maelstrom of his own thinking and change its course? Your sins of thought and word and deed, do hold you captive. It's nigh impossible to take a thought captive when you are the one bound and shackled by your thoughts. How many angry, irritated thoughts have you had just since the beginning of this service? How many times just since the beginning of this sermon have you self-righteously compared yourself to others? How many lustful thoughts have flitted through your thinking? How many selfish thoughts? How many greedy thoughts? How many prideful thoughts? How many covetous thoughts, envious thoughts? Compared to changing your thinking, it's a piece of cake to avoid outward sin, the kind of sin others will notice. But if the cinema of your brain were broadcast before the world, who would not be rightly ashamed? No. That the Lord needs no such broadcast. The Lord sees hearts and thoughts. Your thoughts are not hidden from Him. They are more acutely known by Him than they are even by you. The Lord knows the thoughts of men, says the psalmist. What to do? Repent. Acknowledge the brokenness of your thinking. Admit you've got a thinking problem. Don't hold on to your thoughts when they come. Pray with the psalmist, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. Confess the sins even of your thoughts, and then learn to think with a new mind, with the very mind of Christ, which is yours since the day of your baptism. As the epistle this morning says, God desires all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth, even you. The pollution of your thinking, the wickedness of your actions was not so great that God did not so earnestly desire your salvation that he intervened to save you. For there is one God, St. Paul says, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all. Your sins, your thoughts, your actions, your words held you captive. But Jesus gave himself as a ransom. He took your place under the law so that every sin of yours he could bear as his own. Because, not in spite of, because you cannot free yourself from your sinful thoughts, Jesus was held captive by your thoughts. He who never, even for a millisecond, sinned in thought, paid for every sinful thought, word, or action by shedding his precious blood for them on the cross. The blackness, the perversity of your thinking was undone when Jesus gave himself over to the blackness of death at the hands of perverse men. In his death, when his brain stopped functioning, when neurons and synapses stopped firing, your sinful thinking stopped too. This is the reality of your baptism. You died with Jesus. Not figuratively, literally. Paul says, in the waters of baptism, you were buried with Christ Jesus. You died with him and you rise with him. Your sinful thoughts stopped at the cross and at the font. As God sees it, as God sees you, every sin has been removed by Jesus. And you are free from even the thoughts that still seem, from your perspective, to hold you captive. Sanctification is just learning to get used to your justification, being made holy, righteous before God, doing what the Lord requires according to a new will and a new mind. Sanctification is just learning to believe that what God says about you is truer than you see yourself. Holy living, avoiding sin, is just learning to believe that you are what God says you are, holy and free. Jesus has set you free, completely free from your sin, even your sinful thoughts. So how can you exercise that freedom? How can you stop anger and lust and pride and greed and any other sins of thought? Pray. Today is Rogate. St. Paul commands, first of all, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. Pray for those you sin against in your thoughts. Pray for those you are angry at, and see how long you continue to be angry. Pray for those for whom you lust, and see how long your thoughts remain lustful. Pray for those you envy. Pray in gratitude for the good daily bread God has given them. Pray for those you consider yourself better than, those whom you look at with contempt. Pray for all people and see if it doesn't change your thoughts also. Prayer personalizes the object of your sin. That person you are flying off the handle in rage in your thoughts is exactly that, a person. A fellow creation of the Heavenly Father, a fellow redeemed by God the Son, who needs your prayers more than your anger. That woman you're oogling over is more than eye candy. She's a person, a sister in Christ, someone who needs your prayers. What to pray? Start simply. Pray with each breath, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord, have mercy. Pray the Kyrie, the beggar's petition. Pray the Lord's Prayer, the prayer our Lord Jesus gives and commands his disciples to pray, prayer which the Catechism says, I may be certain that these petitions are pleasing to my Heavenly Father, for he himself has commanded us to pray in this way and has promised to hear us. Pray the Catechism. Luther prayed his way through each of the commandments, through each article of the Creed, through every petition of the Lord's Prayer, through the texts of baptism and the office of the keys and the institution of the sacrament of the altar, slowly and deliberately, finding in each something he was being taught, something for which to give thanks, some sin to confess, and some petition to ask. Pray the Psalms, the sung prayer book of the Bible. Pray the historic collects of the church. Carry the congregation at prayer from your Sunday bulletin around in your pocket all the week. It collects all the petitions of our brothers and sisters in this place and bids you bring their needs before your Heavenly Father. It has a different theme of prayer for each day of the week, and it has the collect of the week for to unite your prayers throughout the entire week. And let each sinful thought be like a church bell tolling to call you to your knees to pray for those in your thoughts. And finally pray, come Lord Jesus. Pray with your mother, the church, for her eternal union with her groom. Pray for the day of Jesus' return, the day when this semel kind of living, this at the same time justified and sinner, trying always to remember and believe the reality that is yours in holy baptism, when this tension between the now and the not yet is finally over, when seeing aligns on that day with hearing. Pray for the day when your sinful flesh, your sinful mind is forever stopped. Pray each day for that day, the day of Jesus' return, when he will raise our dead or dying bodies from the grave, and you will be one person of one mind, one will, one heart, where your thinking and doing will align and all will be in accord with the new life already yours in the waters of holy baptism. And while you wait for this prayer's affirmative answer, receive the Lord's coming every Sunday in this divine service. Here is the answer to all of your prayers. Here is forgiveness for your sins. Here is the very mind of Christ to replace your broken, disordered brain. Here is the body and blood of Jesus to quell your sin, to silence your sinful thoughts, to give you peace and forgiveness in his death. Here at his altar remains the ongoing answer from your Heavenly Father for all of your prayers. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.